Welcome to Paddling Adventures Radio. I'm Sean Rowley, and with me is Derek Speck.
Hello.
How's it going, Derek?
It's going good. Going fantastic.
We have a blast from the past with us this evening, all the way south of the border, John Van Berger. John, how you doing?
Hey, guys. I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Good. Welcome back. It's been a while.
Yeah.
Been a long time. 3 years.
Where you been hiding?
Under a rock. Wisconsin.
We heard rumors you look like Forrest Gump now.
Yeah.
We started those rumors.
The jogging Forrest Gump.
Yeah. Well, let's not go crazy. Yeah, good to hear from you, John.
Yeah, it's been a long time, man.
Yeah. You're out there trying to do the best you can, and that's all you can do, dude.
You know? Every day above ground's a good day, so, you know.
Well, that's what I've been told by anybody that's not a miner.
That's the way I look at it these days.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're still working on the long COVID thing?
Still on the long COVID, what do I want to say? I don't know.
Well, at least you're not a quitter.
COVID train.
At least you're not a quitter.
At least what?
At least you're not a quitter.
That's right. I am hanging on to this long COVID until my dying day.
That's part of the reason that we haven't heard from you so much is you're just trying to get by. So, you know, we're always here and chit-chatting as much as we can.
Yeah. No, it's, I think the last time I spoke with you guys was actually right after I got through the actual illness itself, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so it was about 3 weeks after I got it, I think, and we had chatted then. And then things started going south. And so the unfortunate thing is that I haven't paddled since 2022.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's, you know, but I am better than I was. And, you know, I went from sitting on the couch and you know, like having a hard time moving my arms to going up to a winter camping symposium this weekend. So, you know, it's coming around. It's coming slow, but it's coming
Excellent.
Around.
That's awesome.
Yeah. You might be paddling next year.
You know what? Funny you should mention that. if I can load my, I'm about to take a trip to the Southwest for a little bit. And if I can physically load my canoe, I will be paddling this winter.
Awesome.
Canoe or
kayak? You're snowboarding it, aren't you?
I think so.
Snowboarding it out east, west.
Out west, yeah.
East? Yeah.
Yeah, east wouldn't be as much fun. It's a lot warmer in the Southwest.
Yeah. Colorado's that way. California's that way. New Mexico's that way.
Yeah.
Texas is that way.
Kind of.
Kind of. It's more south.
Listen, this is my map we're dealing with now, boys.
Okay, yes, sir.
Yeah.
You're right, sir.
Isn't Houston just south of San Diego?
Yes, sir.
San Diego is awesome in August. I learned to surf in San Diego.
Oh, yeah?
Did you really?
Yep.
Wow.
Notice I didn't say I was good at it. I just learned to do it. I also learned to do massive belly flops in San Diego. Surfing hurts. That's all I got to say. Yeah, Mission Beach.
Oh, okay.
We're on Mission Beach. And
that's cool.
Yeah. Learned to surf.
I learned to drink more whiskey in San Diego.
Oh, wow. One thing at a time.
I get chased by a seal while scuba diving in San Diego.
Really?
Yeah, it was a very angry seal.
Or what?
What'd you do to it?
I don't know. I think we were encroaching on. He was circling us, and then he started kind of heading straight for us. And at the last second, he'd like dive off away from us, and it's like we were like, "What is he doing?"
Wow.
Yeah, He eventually got bored of us because we weren't being aggressive back or something.
He realized you weren't a female seal.
Yeah, maybe.
Look at the flippers on her. Wait a minute. That's a dude.
It's good to know that in 3 years, things haven't changed there.
Nope. Not at all.
Same old game plan.
Yep. Yeah, you're only on here tonight, so we have somebody else to make fun of for a change.
Oh, got tired of it.
Yeah, we normally want to make fun of each other.
Yeah, yeah, we need a 3-year break.
Well, you know, hey, I'm happy to help out.
Oh, awesome. Excellent, excellent. Thanks, buddy.
How did the winter camping symposium go?
So tell us about the winter camping symposium.
Yeah, it was great. It was this last weekend up in Sturgeon Lake, Minnesota.
Yeah.
It's about... Well, according to my map, your map may be different, but according to my map, it's about 45 minutes south, maybe a little southwest from Duluth. It is my favorite event, to go to. And, I didn't go last year. I had gone the year before that. So it was a lot of fun to get back up there. It was a lot of fun to see people. There's a lot of classes and, you know, demonstrations and workshops. It's on this Camp Miller, which is a YMCA camp. And so it's this great facility. So when they talk about, you know, a survival camp or something like that, you guys hike out in the woods and, you know, you're going to build a survival shelter. And, you know, so you're actually doing it. You're not kind of sitting watching someone's slideshow about it, you know?
Right.
So it's fantastic. It's a great event. It's run by good people, and yeah, I love it. It's absolutely my favorite.
Well, you had touched base with us and said, hey, it's happening in a couple weeks. Why don't you guys hop on in your vehicle and come on down and check it out? Which would have been cool to do, but unfortunately we had too many other things going on.
And that's way up north too. You guys probably had snow and everything.
Yeah.
Like you were literally north of us.
We're still in the fall sessions here.
Yeah.
You know, not quite winter yet. So
I knew you guys were soft, but I didn't think you were that bad.
Donuts, yeah. My friend, softer than you know.
We're not good with winter here.
So they have a little thing on their website there saying, our goal is to inspire, educate, and celebrate everything winter with fellow campers and enthusiasts from all around the region. It's a fantastic opportunity to connect, collaborate, and learn from one another, making this event an absolute must for anyone passionate about outdoor winter activities. Come and be part of the joyous gathering filled with camaraderie and exploration. Whether you're a seasoned winter camper or a newcomer eager to discover the wonders of the season, this event promises an incredible and enriching experience for all. I like the fact that it's not just for people that, you know, are into it already, that they include newcomers.
Yeah.
Lots of speakers, and there was a couple, like Bear Paulson from North Star Canoes does stuff there. Dave and Kai from Lure the North was down there. Shug Emery. He was there doing stuff. Apparently he was a keynote speaker.
Yeah. So Dave couldn't make it from Lure of the North. He injured a leg, I guess. But Kai was there. She did the Friday keynote. And then Shug Emery did the Saturday keynote. And, yeah, it was great. It was great.
Lots of presentations, demonstrations. Hands-on learning is the big thing, too. Because, yeah, there's nothing like going to one of these places. And here's how we make a fire.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
What were the crowds like there? Was there a lot of people?
You know what? There were. It was 186,000 primary registrations. And that's kind of like for their, that's in their average range, but that's like on the high end of their average range.
That's pretty good.
So that was great. But what was really interesting and very cool about it was that 58% of those people were first-time attendees.
Oh, right on. So a lot of people are getting out and getting into it.
Yeah, yeah.
Nice.
And so that's, you know, I love that piece, you know, because when you go there, you know, it's one of those things where if you pick up one or two things, well, I mean, and it doesn't matter if you're a first timer or not, but you just pick up a couple of things, it can make a trip so much easier, you know, just simple things, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, and then they, you know, like Ryan Fox, who is one of the volunteer organizers, he does, like, you know, winter camping 101 every time.
Okay.
And so for new people going there, boom, you know, you're right there. Pete Brodigam is from Brodigam Expedition Works. This guy does like titanium camp tools and such. Anything from camp tools to cooking gear, and you know, he did a presentation I attended on your first solo trip, and that was absolutely great. And he, you know, it was just like, you know, here's a guy who does it all the time, but you know, can kind of remember going back to those first trips he took by himself and the mistakes, and you know,
right.
And he's also, you know, a guy who you know, has gone through the ice.
Ooh.
So, yeah. So, you know, he's able to talk about all of this stuff and how to overcome those kinds of challenges. And he did a great presentation. In fact, then he had, so that was 101. And then he had like 201. I think it was later that day. And I realized I went in and I was, you know, getting ready for, you know, a great presentation. I'm all excited about it. And then I went, oh, I haven't even gone down the row of vendors outside yet. I better go do that before they close down. So I didn't see his second one, but, you know, that's the kind of thing. There's so much going on and so many different kinds of things that, you know, it's, I love it. Just love it.
Well, and there's also a bunch of things here that aren't necessarily only winter related too. You can transfer the skills over that they're teaching, like avoiding accidents, camp accident use and safety.
Yeah.
You know, chainsaw introduction. Well, okay. But yeah, you know, like wilderness safety and risk management. We've talked about that before. So this is stuff that you can, you know, take out into not only winter camping, but summer as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. And you know, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
No, you know, it goes from, and there's like sort of off-grid living stuff as well, you know? Mm. So it's not just, oh, okay, well, I'm here to, you know, learn how to claw my way out of a hole in the ice. You know, Deb Johnson was there again this year, and she did a thing on making soap. You know, so it's got, I mean, it really runs the gamut. And then they have a fantastic kids program.
Right.
Absolutely, you know, like it's kind of an all-day kids program. They were holding that, incidentally, right next to where I was camped. And so early in the morning when they were getting ready to set up, I thought, who the hell is throwing all that metal around? looked outside and they were setting up fire pits for the kids. And so they learned how to safely baton wood and start fires. And then they made the coverings for the hatchet heads and such. I mean, you know, so it was cool. It was really cool.
Well, that gets them interested in it. That's just that's like the gateway drug to for the kids, right?
Yeah.
Like make something, a cover or something, that learn how to make the fires, and then next year move on to a different skill. That's making the fire is the entry level drug.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And you know, there's a gentleman from Michigan, I believe. He has an organization that I wanted to give money to, you know, with the Outdoor Kind when we were doing that, for first responders and, you know, where they go out and they search for people. And Michael Nygerth? I can't remember how, Michael Niger, that's his name. And, you know, I saw a presentation he did when I was there last time. Worst case foul weather fire building. And, you know, because it doesn't always work so well, right? When you're in cold and wet conditions. And it was very cool to see all of these, you know, strategies that he had and the tools that he had to use them to, you know, to get things going. So,
yeah, I think he's doing a land navigation thing this year, too.
Yeah. And again, you know, you're on this 40 some acre facility. So they're able to actually go out and, you know, figure it out in field, you know? So it's, yeah.
Which is perfect. Cool. He also did a tarp rigging class.
Yeah. 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 The late, Dan Cook used to do that. And, you know, we're at the, you know, the time in the community, where, you know, some of the, we're losing some of the old guard. And Dan Cook passed away. He was one of the, you know, kind of the stalwarts up there, Cook Custom Sewing Products. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so, yeah, so the people that have taken over his business were there. The products looked, from what I could see, just as good as, you know, when Dan had had been doing that. So good. It was cool to see the continuity.
Yes. Yeah, you don't want to fall off the quality of all that. Built way well, too many years.
Yeah, exactly. And then just, you know, what this gear is primarily being used for, right? Mm-hmm. It's, you know, it's one thing if something fails in summer. It's a whole different thing if something fails in the middle of winter and you're, you know, negative 30 out in the middle of nowhere.
Right?
Yeah.
I do like the one here, crossing the big lakes.
Mm.
That's a big skill. I never really did a lot of lake crossing when I was doing the camping, winter camping.
Yeah.
The only time I was ever out in the lakes if I was fishing.
Yeah.
And then when I got into the camping, the winter camping, it was just offshore to dig a hole through the ice to get fresh
water. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It wasn't until I started going in Algonquin that you'd be cruising across some of the lakes and stuff like that. And you start to realize how much the lake ice changes.
Oh yeah.
With quick thaws and stuff like that, and then freezes back over, and then you step on something and you realize there's like a half inch of ice followed by
slush and then another layer of ice.
Yeah.
And then
you know, it really, it's definitely something you need to look into before going out. And same with you know, having the lanyard with the two ice picks off the off of it that you can boom
rescue,
you
know,
rescue yourself, rescue, right?
Right. Yep. Yeah. It was funny because there was basically, you know, it's like almost every presentation that involved, you know, going out on the ice and stuff talked about slush, right?
Right.
and what a pain it is. And, you know, on Kai's Friday keynote, she was talking about, you know, they had like the slush spectacular and, you know, they were, she had just had these photos and interviews with people. And, but on that 70 day trip where they went from Lake Superior up to James Bay.
Yeah.
So, you know, which is, I don't know if you've ever seen her talk about that, but that's an amazing trip.
Yeah. Was it videos on YouTube? I think I was watching.
Yeah,
I know there was photos on Facebook when they posted it as their daily or whenever they could get reception. They'd post photos of here's what happened day one, day two, day three, that sort of thing. But have you ever been pulling a toboggan across a lake and then it just collects the slush?
Yes. Yeah. Exactly.
It just adds the weight so much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The worst part is not the sled. Is if you're snowshoeing and you start to get into some slush and suddenly your snowshoes are like, oh, I'm carrying like 30 pounds of ice on each snowshoe.
Yeah. Yep. And you kick it off and you get it off there. And in about, 20 meters, you're doing it again.
Yeah.
Yep. So you enjoyed yourself. What classes did you watch? Did you sit in on?
You know, I popped in and out of a number of them. the one of the ones that I sat all the way through was a tree identification course.
Oh, okay.
And which was really interesting. It was a guy, he was from, I want to say, university in Iowa. I think he had gotten his PhD in Minnesota.
Okay.
And but it was one of those presentations where, you know, this guy is so knowledgeable, and he's taking all of this knowledge that he has, and he's, you know, putting it down to a 1 hour presentation, you know? So, right. Yeah. But he was great, and he was funny, and just a lot of really good knowledge and a lot of different ways to identify trees as you're going through. He's like, well, you know, I took a walk around the grounds here and I saw 18 different species and one invasive. And of course, I forgot to ask, what's one invasive, you know, because I was curious about that. Mm-hmm. But really good. A lot of interesting, you know, info about it. You know, there's the issues of, you know, which trees burn best, you know, for BTUs, throw off the most heat, that kind of thing.
Right.
So, that was pretty great. One of the other ones that I did sit on was Pete Brodigan's, his solo winter trekking, the 101. And that was just great. And, you know, he was talking about just all of the things that he does. He had a sled laid out on a table in front of him. And so he was talking about, like, you know, what he has in his, you know, his deck bag, so to speak, or his dash bag, or I can't remember exactly what he called it. But, you know, it was all of the important stuff that you want to take with you.
Right.
You know, and so that was great. And, you know, he was talking about, you know, issues of, you know, slush and somebody had said something about, you know, how quiet it is. One of the great joys of this is you get out by yourself and it's very quiet.
Yeah.
And somebody made the joke about, yeah, until you come across the, you know, the dog mushers and, you know, all the sound of them and how loud that gets. And he said, yeah, but he said, I have never been upset to see a good dog mushers trail, you know? So, He's a good guy. He's been out and done it, you know, and having that trail broken for you by the dogs and the dog sleds, not such a bad thing in the middle of a big lake.
Not at all. If you can come across, and that's why every time we go, we tend to follow the trail back that we took.
Yes.
Exactly. Now we were out. Were you there for Algonquin with the Wolves?
I remember one New Year's where we went out and walked out into a field with a whole bunch of people there and we did a wolf howl.
No, Mike, Marcus, and them were out. I walked in to meet them one day, and then when we got back out across the lakes, because they were,
yeah.
I just walked in for the day that they were coming out.
Yeah.
So we pulled all their gear and somebody had to break trail because it had snowed while they were in there for a few days. We came back up and we actually went to the Algonquin Visitor Center and stood out on the back deck.
Okay.
And you could see the lakes we came across from the back of the Visitor Center, and there was wolves. Oh,
I remember that. Yeah.
There were wolves coming across. Yeah.
They were following
our trail.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought you were there. Cool. Yeah. How cool.
Yeah. So, yeah.
They were tracking us.
Yeah. Hour later.
Where'd that food go?
Yeah, one of those guys can move fast.
Yeah, it's fast food.
Yeah, so having that trail benefits everybody.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. That was, I went down to the, Lee and Amy Hunter did their screen printing thing. So every year they make up a special, specially designed t-shirt.
Right.
For the event. And, you know, it's like a donation of, I don't remember what it was per, I think it was like $5 per impression or something. And, this year he did one, it was a snow trek and it was, kind of a Star Trek, what do you want to call it? A takeoff on the Star Trek design.
Oh, okay.
But instead of a Starship Enterprise boldly going. It was a camp stove. It was actually a really cool shirt. And
you bought actually four.
actually got two. But, and that kind of hits the thing, too, is just, you know, I met him up there the first year that I went up there. And, to see them again, to see, you know, Dwayne and Margo at Snow Trekker, tent, and have gotten to know a lot of the organizers, you know, Matt Raske's another one of these guys who, you know, gives up a lot of time to put this together. Right. And, and they're just really good people. So that's, you know, one of the things about this event I just love, you know.
So good introductory for people that are looking to get into it. Great things for people that are already into it.
Yep.
And all family members, everything.
Yeah. And you know, the keynotes are obviously chosen because they're also entertaining, right?
Yeah.
So exactly. Even if it's, you know, if you take someone along with you or whatever who isn't thrilled about winter camping, and let's be honest, there are a lot of people out there that this idea doesn't work for them. But it's a weekend of late fall camping, essentially seeing these great presentations, hanging out with some cool people.
Yeah,
it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's a lot of us do that in the winter when the, you know, hard water season happens. You can't be paddling anymore.
When there's no mosquitoes.
Yeah, no mosquitoes. Yeah. Derek loves it. That's our way to keep our outdoors going. Yeah. Glad you had a good time there, John.
Yeah, thanks. It was a lot of fun. And, yeah, no mosquitoes is a big draw, right?
It is, definitely.
As he's in his laboratory genetically splicing snow to mosquitoes to evolve a winter mosquito.
Yeah.
Send to Derek, yeah.
Right? That'd be awesome. Hey,
you know, we can give Derek all kinds of crap and stuff. Did you see the picture on Facebook of where they were sitting for the Blue Jays game?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Good seats, yeah.
Right? Very good seats.
Yeah.
Yeah, what'd you have to do to get those seats, Derek?
Yeah, Derek.
there's a group of us at work. There's like 15 or 20 of us that have season tickets.
So y'all just
5-game packs and 10-game packs and stuff like that.
Nice. We do rock, paper, scissors to see who gets...
We do a draft.
Oh, yeah? So you just luckily ended up with
those. I drafted Game 7. Who knew it was going to go to Game 7?
Right.
But I also have Game 1 of the World Series, too.
Do you?
Yeah.
No.
And who are you taking? Buddy, pal, friend of mine.
Friend? Dearest friend who I haven't seen for so long?
It was a wild game. It was a good game. So me and
Siobhan he just avoided that question, didn't he?
We're already talking about hotels, and we're going to stay downtown on Friday. And
so you're saying Siobhan's going, and there's a free ticket.
Sure.
Remember who carried that canoe all the way home for you?
Yeah.
Good times.
It was a good game. It was a really exciting game.
I bet.
A nail biter. But yeah, it was good.
Go, Jace, go.
Yeah.
Before we go totally off the rails, this is the time of the year, fall, where we are anyway.
Yeah.
Before the snow flies, this is the time of year to make sure you check your winter camping gear. Put up your hot tent, if that's what you do, and check for holes, wear and tear. Clean your wood stove. Clean the rust, oil the door hinges, replace stovepipe parts if needed. Make sure your flue is working. Check your cots, check your sleeping bags, which are the big things because they're the ones that keep you warm. Make sure your winter camping clothing still fits.
Yeah, but, you know, it might be baggy now or something.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, you might have lost a few sizes. Make sure it's still in good condition. Check your snowshoes and hiking poles. Make sure, you know, the poles are still working and your snowshoe bindings and everything are still in good condition. Check your toboggan or your pulk, whichever one you use, because there's nothing like getting out there and then something breaks.
Well, and if anybody's like me, it's like, oh, this thing broke or that broke or the strap broke in my snowshoes or whatever. It's like, okay, I'll fix that over summer.
Yeah.
And
then summer's gone, my friend.
You're packing up, getting ready to go on a trip, and it's like, we're leaving tomorrow. It's like, oh, that strap broke in the snowshoe.
Yeah, let me get a shoelace.
Yeah.
It's better to find the issues with your gear now than before you're in the backcountry in below freezing temps.
Yep, exactly.
It's also time to be getting your cold water paddling gear checked out, cleaned, and repaired.
Yes.
Because cold water paddling is upon us.
Anybody who likes to, like Lake Ontario, it's been windy the last couple of days, and you go anywhere along the lakeshore, there's big rollers come in, and it's like, oh, I can, if I was, I'm not the type of guy, but if I was the type of guy who likes to kayak surf or do whatever on Lake Ontario, it's like, hey, there you go. So the waves were, it was pretty exciting looking out the windows at work and saying, whoa, look at that. Right? Yeah.
Yeah, I've got my dry suit ready to go, and it's all cleaned up, and it's got the zipper has been waxed.
Oh, yes.
So it opens and closes nicely. Make sure you do it. Safety third.
Yeah.
Captain Peter Frank. We got to give a little shout out to Peter Frank.
I saw that posting
October come up today. 20th, 2025 at 9:43 a.m. I have successfully completed a solo circumnavigation of the eastern United States, thus becoming the youngest person to ever do so out of any boat, and I did it in a canoe the wrong way. Now, episode 445 back in August last year, 2024, we met up with Peter and we talked about his trips, and he was doing the Great Loop. So he's just finished it, 480 days, 16 months. Clockwise, 4,853 miles complete, 297 miles portages, upstream, 2,158 miles, and 122 locks.
Wow.
120. I mean, we did the locks, and like some of the locks take forever.
It does slow you down.
Oh, good Lord. Yeah. 122 of them?
Hmm.
Forget it. he says, I am the seventh person to have ever paddled the Great Loop, as well as the third to have done it clockwise. I'm honored to play a small part in history. Lastly, today is the 10-year anniversary from being run over by a car. So kind of funny how that works out. When he was, run over by a car, shattered his spine, the whole meal deal.
Oh, my God.
Had to relearn how to walk and everything.
Which is what got him onto this journey of journeys.
He started with the unicycle.
Yeah.
Found his cat.
Yeah.
And all that. So, yeah. So, go back and listen to episode 445, and you'll hear the full story of Captain Peter Frank. You can go to Captain Peter Frank on Facebook. You can check out his website, whereispeterfrank.com, if you want to find out more. He posts on Facebook, especially, his daily things. Big congrats, Peter. Job well done, buddy. And hopefully we'll... We talked about getting him back on the show when he was done to do a recap of his
good for
adventure.
Him.
So right on. Hopefully we can get that done.
And it is a tough way. Like I can see why he says the wrong way, because he's paddling up the Mississippi.
And Steve Chard is doing it the other way now.
Yes.
I met both of them within the last year.
Yeah.
Two Great Loops crossing. I think they met at one point too.
Oh,
I'm pretty sure they met.
I think I remember them talking about that. Yeah.
Yep. So that's pretty cool. John, you got to go check it out, buddy.
Okay. I'll do that.
In the meantime, last week, we talked about canoes, a canoe. My whole theory about whitewater canoeing and stuff. Yes. When I was younger, I could get a heavy canoe. I could portage it everywhere. Blah, 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 blah. But we started, and we've said that when you first started getting into all this stuff, you buy the cheapest gear that you can afford.
Yes.
Because you don't want to spend tons of cash on something and then find out you don't like it.
Yeah. Oh, I got to sell this now.
So I'm not a big whitewater fanatic. Never have been, never had aspirations of doing class 700 rapids. Going over Niagara Falls, screeding all the way down. So I saw that Nova Craft had a Prospector 16 foot, an SP3, which is apparently their heaviest material. It would be awesome if I could get one of their really lightweight whitewater boats for $5,000 plus.
Tough stuff boats after, you know, it's like $5,200, $5,500 depending on finish.
Options.
And then taxes. Yikes. Yeah.
If you want a spray deck, add another $1,000 onto that.
Yeah.
Right? I'm not going to spend that kind of money just for
something you might use my once uses. A year.
A couple of times a year. I wanted one for something for canoe poling, most part. But if I'm going to get one for canoe poling and it can do whitewater, I'll probably do some whitewater stuff.
Yes.
But if I'm doing like a 3-week wilderness canoe trip with some whitewater, I'm not taking something that weighs 94-ish pounds.
Yeah.
Right? I'm going to take my Swift and I'm going to portage or be very careful on how I do it.
But
curiosity got the better of me, so I sent them a message. Actually, one of our listeners, Joe Burley, sent me a message saying, you know, they have a seconds list, a sale list.
Yeah, 35% off.
So I checked their list, and they had one of these Prospectors. So I sent them a message, and because the London's Paddle Shop is connected to the Novacraft factory.
Yeah.
So Mike Prout over at London's Paddle Shop sent me back a message going, yeah, we got this one here if you want to come and check it out. And I said, well, I think I'll come pay you guys a visit on the weekend. So I put out a little note saying, hey, I'm heading to Novacraft in London, Ontario on Saturday. And if anybody's going to be around, come out and say hello. And then Derek shows up. Wait, you're going to go look at boats? Well, count me in, buddy. What time are you leaving? So Derek and I headed to Novacraft to check him out.
It was a longer drive than expected.
I don't think you've ever really... You've been through London, but not
in
London. I've been
to Kitchener-Waterloo. Yeah. I've never been...
So we get there, met Mike, the store manager, and Brent of Tapley Outdoors showed up, which I've met before. One of our longtime listeners, Dave Wellington, who met us at the Canoe Museum that day, he showed up. They're both from that area, so they might have said, you know, we're going to come out and chit-chat and see you and check out Novacraft as well. For the record, they never left with a boat. But, you know, they can go back anytime they want.
Did Rachel McAdams show up?
Nope.
Oh. She's from London, you know.
Yeah, no, she never showed up.
I'm sure she's too busy.
Yeah, might be too busy. She thought she knew Derek was going to be there.
She's changed, you know, since she's become a, you know, great actress. I don't know.
Right? Yeah, Hollywood's changed her. We got there. We took a peek around the store at all the canoes, paddles, PFDs, books, maps, you name it. Had a great chat with everyone about paddling and canoes and everything. So it was a great time to check everything out.
Yeah.
Mike gave us a tour of the factory. It was cool to see how they make the canoes different ways and stuff like that. And not only do they make Novacraft canoes, but they also repair canoes. Not only Novacraft canoes.
They'll repair anything.
There was the North Star. Possible. There was a North Star canoe there that got apparently wrapped right around a rock.
Mm. Oh.
Needed some more extra work.
He estimated it would be cheaper to buy a new one.
Yeah. So.
Oops.
So. Yeah. Went into the old building to see more canoes that they had for sale but didn't fit in the showroom. Anybody that's watched the Novacraft YouTube video of them dropping a Novacraft canoe off the roof. It's a tall building.
It is.
Yeah. And they dropped a canoe off the roof just to show how durable they are. That's the building we were in.
Mm-hmm. It's a very cool building. It's like the old flour mill in London. And so they bought the property and built a factory on it. And but they store all the canoes inside this old structure. It's huge. It's like 120 plus years old or something.
Something like that, yeah.
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 Amazing building.
Holds the cold.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cold breeze. As soon as you open the door, cold air blows out.
So we went in there and checked out some of their boats, saw a few different models, different colors, different lengths. And Derek has been contemplating a canoe.
I have been.
But he was only there to check it out.
We had discussed it ahead of time because I said, hey, I'm going with Sean. And so I said, hey, well, price is good.
Friends don't let friends buy canoes alone. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. There was a bet that Derek would not show up to record tonight because he would have been beaten to death by his wife. But apparently taking her to a Jays clinching Blue Jays game there sort of saved his life a bit. So the Blue Prospector 16... that was on the truck,
yes,
was joined by a red Prospector 16.
At that price, you can't go wrong, honestly.
No. Yeah, if you get one, if you don't mind a little scratch, dent sort of thing, I mean, you're using it for white water.
Exactly.
Like,
yeah.
You know, you save 35% on the price. I'm good with that.
Mm-hmm.
I am good with that.
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah, so we found out, yes, my truck definitely holds two canoes on top.
Yep.
Two 16-foot prospectors,
and
no problem.
Did it quite well.
Did it quite well. So, yeah, we're quite happy with them. SP3, like I say, the weights are based on a year-long production average, so it may vary.
I never did weigh the...
Yeah, it's 94-ish pounds, they say, so it could be a little bit less.
Plus or minus 2 pounds.
Yeah, yeah. So, still, I mean, eh. Mm-hmm. It's 15 feet 7 inches.
No, he said these are true 16s.
Well, yeah, see, that's what he said. They were true 16s.
Some of their early ones were...
Yeah, their specs online say 15.7.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to get my tape measure out. A few inches ain't going to
kill. Because I asked him when we were there, I said, is this a true 16 or is it a...
Yeah.
I thought it was a 15.8. He says, no, these are true 16s.
Well, I know they have 15.4s.
Yes.
Right? So, 36-inch width, center depth of 14.5 inches, end depth of 23, rocker of 3 inches. Capacity, 900 pounds. So, two people, and about 600 pounds worth of gear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
that's a lot.
And, it is a lot. These are, prospectors are known for their, mm-hmm. their loading capacity, right? And so it's a good all-round canoe. The only real drawback is the weight. Otherwise, it's I'm looking forward to getting out paddling it. I like so it does the white water. It doesn't have the keel, so it's good turning in water. It's like this. They say the 17s are a bit tougher to turn, and the 15s are a bit more twitchy and easier to turn. So it would be a good white water canoe. And again, sure, it's a little bit heavy for the portages, but man, it's
hopefully you're not doing the portages.
Well, there you go. Exactly. Do the whitewater instead.
Right?
So
you get the canoe pole going too.
Yeah. And what, a decent whitewater canoe is like 60 pounds or whatever.
Yeah.
So it's not that far off.
No.
Right?
No. Well, and that's my thing is like for the money savings for what you're going to do with it.
Yeah.
You know, like if you're just getting into it and if you decide within 2 years, you know what? I want one of those more expensive ones because I am really serious.
I'm doing some big.
You'll be able to sell that your prospector to somebody. They'll snap it up from you and put that money towards a new. I mean, that's exactly what we are doing with our winter tents. We got into winter camping. We bought a small tent. When we found out, you know, we really do enjoy this, we sold it and put that money towards a bigger winter tent.
And what's good about these canoes is it's a really good all-around canoe. And if you take away the weight factor, which a lot of people complain about, but if it's a cottage country boat or if you're looking at buying up a fleet of 20 of them for rentals or something, and they're going to take a lot of beating, a lot of damage and whitewater trips, they're good for that too.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a really good all-around boat. And I'm looking forward to it. It's a nice looking boat. It's nice to see a new boat. My backyard, and I'm very excited about it.
I had to make room in my garage. We rented a storage locker for a whole bunch of stuff.
Yep.
And now I have room in my garage.
Now you got to build a rack because you have too many boats. You have
There's no such thing as too many boats. Ask Jerry Vandiver, and he will sing you a song saying no such thing, too many boats. Do you do whitewater, John?
I haven't for a long time. But then again, I haven't canoed for a long time either. So, you know.
When you used to canoe back in the 1800s.
That's right, yeah. No, you know, Novacraft sponsored the Yukon Journey.
Yep.
And, you know, so we had that 18-foot prospector. And, God, that thing was fantastic. You know, I'd gone through the factory with them too, went out to that back building, you know, so as you guys are talking about that, I'm like, yeah, that was a good time. Mm-hmm. But I love that boat. Absolutely love it. And, I think you guys are going to be really happy with these.
I think so. Cause I was doing some research there, you know, like, do I get a 17 footer? Because that way Derek had talked about getting a 17 footer. Because he needs it for the bigger family. That way, I could lend Derek the 17-foot. Mm-hmm. But when I'm looking at it, they say the 17-footer is better on flat water, but not as great as a 16-footer in rapids.
Yes.
Right.
But the 16-footer isn't as great on flat water as the 17-footer.
Yeah.
But it's much, much more responsive. That foot makes a difference in white water.
It does.
I
think in the long run, once you get used to it, you're going to be used to the boat, whatever you have.
Yeah. So that's why I said, I mean, the 16-footer is good enough for me. And then Derek bought his own, so, you know, forget Derek. He's not borrowing my boat.
I was looking at, so when you got the blue one, if I had seen another blue one, I probably would have got it. But otherwise, for the 16-footers, they had green and reds. And I like red. But they did have a 17 in like a sunset orange type, yellowish orange.
Yep.
What a beautiful boat that was.
Yep. And then there was the ones that were like the maroon.
Oh, yeah.
The maroon color, like a burgundy wine color.
And then there's a camo green type thing.
Yeah, I'm not into camo canoe.
It wasn't a camo pattern. It was just like an army jeep green type thing.
Mm-hmm.
But it was
olive.
Olive, yeah.
Olive green.
That's the color they call it.
Yeah. No, there was actually a camo one, which...
Yeah.
So you can sneak up on the fish.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we'll be happy with those. And like I say, I want to get it on the water, do some paddling, try some canoe poling from it.
Mm-hmm.
And the big thing is, like I say, you're going to get scratches. The rapids and rivers are filled with rocks, and I'm going to try to find every single one of them. Rocks need love too, and I'm going to canoe.
Yeah, there you go.
My canoe's going to hug every one.
You know what's nice about them is so my Kevlar has the big floaty compartments on bow stern. So this here, the material is naturally buoyant.
Yep.
So you don't need the compartments. So it's even more room for storage.
Right.
Right. If you're putting a dog in there or putting kids in there or whatever.
Yeah.
Nice. I'm excited about it.
Yeah, I think it's going to be good. And John, that just means that at some point you're going to have to come up here and do some whitewater, buddy.
Yeah, come with us. Let's go, buddy.
Yeah, we'll just strap you in the middle in the princess seat. You can just sit there.
Yeah. That works for me, man.
Right?
Hey, just
won't work for you until we tip over on purpose.
I hear you. I hear you.
Where did John go?
So I'm not coming to Canada anytime soon, then, is what you're telling me.
Well, it's not that you're expendable, but, you know, hey, I got a clue. Let's get John in the middle. We'll go down the rapids and accidentally nudge, nudge, wink, wink, capsize.
Yeah.
Have you guys been talking with Jan about insurance policies or anything?
We might have.
I can neither confirm nor deny. Can we plead the fifth up here? I think if I'm going to do this next summer, I'll probably late spring, maybe I'll look into a whitewater course.
And yes.
Jump into that. And I just try to stay upright as much as possible.
Yeah.
So when they say, okay, this drill, we're going to tip on purpose. Maybe you are.
I ain't. That's the first thing they do. Yeah. They want you to be confident you can get out of the boat, right? Because usually there's straps, knee straps, and your feet are under the seat. And the first thing they do is like, okay, roll over. But they want you to be confident that, because most people are scared. It's like,
yeah,
what if my feet get caught? Or what if I can't get out of the knee straps?
That's always been my
thing. Or whatever, right? So that's the first thing to do is get you to flip and get escape from the canoe. So... which is, it's a confidence builder. It's and suddenly you know, oh, look, I can get out of this. It's really easy
unless
to get out of this.
Unless you don't know.
Unless you don't know. Or unless something goes wrong the very first time.
Like I say, in case something goes wrong and you don't know.
The first sea kayaking class I ever went to is, you know, everybody's down there and they're sitting in the X and they're like, okay, we're going to go over and, you know, get out and get back in. But it was that first thing of going over.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was funny because you looked at the other people there and there you could see, oh, crap. You know, that's that same thing, right? Am I going to be able to get out of this? And the change from when they did it, got out of it, and came up, the rest of the time it was like, oh, you want us to go over? Okay. You know? Like you say, the confidence, but also just kind of the ease, you know, and it was such a huge change in that group.
Yeah. Once you do it the first time.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. It's like in a boxing ring where Derek gets punched the first time.
How's this the comparison?
Because everyone after that is easy.
Exactly.
Oh, I'm just getting punched. Okay. Whatever.
You guys are going to throw me out of a boat. I'm going to at least make up some interesting scenarios for
this. We
want
you to be confident that you can escape properly.
That you can escape properly. Right?
You guys are such good friends.
Exactly. It's for your own good.
It's for your own good, John.
Now get out of the boat.
And if you drown, you're never coming with us again. No, that's the thing, is just getting used to that sort of thing. I mean, I've spent over 30 years making sure my boat doesn't tip over.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden you're telling me I got to tip it over? That's counterintuitive.
Yeah.
Looking forward to get on the water and doing some whitewater stuff and some canoe poling. And big thanks, Mike, at London's Paddle Shop for the great day and showing us around and helping us with the boats. And
yeah, it was very cool.
Siobhan, thank you very much for being patient and not killing Derek.
Well, like I said, she was okay with the price. It was when I listed the weight.
Right.
I can't carry that. I said, well, I'm going to carry it.
That's the one and only thing, the only con, and everybody dwells, it's 94 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I used to carry a canoe that was almost 100 pounds. Yeah, 30 years ago. What are you saying? What are you saying? So, you know what? It is what it is.
Yep.
We're getting out on the water, and this is how we're going to do it. Then so be it. If I need somebody to help me take it off my truck or whatever. But I've got that goalpost, the Yakima goalpost, the old goalpost, which I don't think they even sell anymore. That comes up, you put the end on of your boat on that, and then you just push it straight up onto the top of your truck.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Beauty.
Easy peasy lemon squeezy.
If, Derek, if Siobhan does get upset with you about this and kills you over this... I will happily escort her to the World Series Game 1.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So you can at least die knowing that, you know.
Yeah. At least she's still going to get to the game.
Yeah.
So what you're saying is you call dibs on the tickets. I call dibs on your boat. It's new. I can sell it for a profit.
You can have a catamaran.
Hey, John, you need a boat, buddy? I got a good priced one.
Yeah, mine is sitting out back, and I'm getting anxious to actually go out and try to paddle again.
See, you just got to
excellent.
Go out there, start with the back, just lift the back end, put it down, lift the back end, put it down, go in the house for a day, tomorrow come out, lift it.
Four years later, I'll go back out and I'll try it again.
build yourself up until you're actually throwing it on your shoulders, and then you put it back down,
yeah.
And then you go in for the next day. Just build That's yourself right. up slowly, but and by the time summer hits, dude. Yeah,
you're in it.
you're under it, but nowhere near your truck. See, or you get yourself a bunch of dogs, and they can just dog sled you to the lake.
There you go.
Oh, now see, now we're talking.
See, hook the dogs up to the canoe. Use it like a sled. Then your dogs jump in.
Yeah, there is no part of this that sounds bad.
See.
Did you ever get multiple dogs?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. I get to paddle.
Right.
I am sure Jan will be 100% on with this.
Oh yeah. Oh, if not, tell her to call Javon. Did you ever see Paddle to the Sea?
No.
Where he carved
the little boat,
the little
floaty boat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he put it in the snow.
Yeah.
And then when spring happened, the snow went. The snow melted, took the canoe.
Yeah, it was
down.
Yeah,
hit their small little creek into the river, into the Great Lakes, all the way out to the ocean.
What's the name of that?
Paddle to the Sea.
I know the who filmed it.
Was that a Bill Mason thing?
No, that wasn't. No. That was it. Would be on
the National Film Board of Canada.
Yeah, National Film Board of Canada. Yeah.
So if you can get somebody to help you get the canoe to the top of a hill, John.
And then wait for spring.
Well, you know, the other way to do it, I think, is, you know, we're in the low spot in our neighborhood here. And, you know, every spring our backyard floods out.
Oh, there you go.
You don't even have to portage to get there.
If I just sit out in the backyard for the winter in my boat waiting.
Right. Eventually.
Yeah.
You get yourself a pole.
The water comes to you.
Get yourself a pole, a canoe pole around your yard.
Yes.
Yeah. See, you slowly build yourself up, John. That's the spirit, buddy.
Yeah, our old dog used to sit out back and wait for the ducks to swim across the yard. It was hilarious.
Oh, yeah.
Do you still get the deer back there?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I haven't seen, you know, like that one time that, what was it, 32 or 31 or something like that. I haven't seen that many at once, but yeah, they're out here. My dog watches for them and lets me know when they're here. You know, yeah.
Living the life, dude.
We had another fawn dropped in the yard right behind us.
Cool.
And so that was kind of fun this spring, is watching the fawn learn how to move around. And, you know, they get that... where they go through, it's almost like the zoomies for dogs, right? Where
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God, that's so funny to watch. Yeah, good stuff.
Yeah, we just get the stinky kitties. Skunks.
Yeah. What was that?
Athena's found two.
Yeah, been hit by two so far.
Yep. Yeah. Good times. Well, John, I'm hoping that you're able to... by next summer, at least get out on the water. Even this winter, hopefully you can get enough about you that, like you say, if you're starting to feel a little bit better, as time's going on here, then hopefully even if you just get the boat into the water and drift or sit there, tie the rope to the shore and just sit there and read a book. I've done that.
Yeah, you know, just I bought one of the mounts, you know, for putting a trolling motor or a small, like a 3.5 horse motor on it.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
And, it's an 18 footer, which means there's some, you know, paperwork that I'm going to have to deal with because of the 18 foot with the motor down here. That's like their break point from, you know, being smooth and easy to be in a pain in the butt paperwork.
Right.
But I think, you know, I'm going to do that. I'm going to take that with me. And like I said, if I can load it, I'm taking it with me. And, you know, if I've got that in there, then I can paddle out till I'm tired and I can, you know, motorboat the rest of the day, if you will.
Well, see, and that's the whole thing with the over the last few years, the SUPs, stand up paddle boards, and some of the kayaks, they're coming with these electronic motors.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And a lot of them are for people who have mobility issues and stuff, so they can paddle, and then when they start getting tired, they got this motor assist
to back them up, exactly,
right,
to make sure that they get back safely.
Yep. So it's very much like an e-bike, right?
Yeah.
You can go out, pedal till you're tired, then throttle off, and then back up. So right? Yeah.
You just got to watch out for bears. We talked about that already. Yeah, those people, they said because usually you're hearing the bikes coming, but the e-bikes were so quiet, the bears didn't hear.
Well, it's not just quiet, but they're fast.
So
they got on top of the bears before the bears were able to run away, and so it created a confrontation situation.
Yep. So make sure you got a bear bell on when you're riding your e-bike by yourself out in Colorado or something.
Or you just sing
that
at the top of your lungs everywhere you go.
Yeah. Yeah. Then your people will chase you down and beat you.
Right. Yeah, for sure.
But, hopefully we'll get out soon and paddle with you.
It would be nice, yes.
Sounds good, man. I miss it. I miss you guys. I miss the paddling community. I've not been real active in it because it's kind of like keeping my mindset, sort of elsewhere right now and in the progress mode, if you will.
Yeah.
So, I miss it, and I want to get back to it as quick as possible.
Well, we can't wait to get you back here, John. And just for the record, anybody that asks us, have you heard from John Van Berger? And I said, yeah, visiting hours at the prison are using Sundays. So they all think you're in prison, John, but I didn't tell them what for.
I appreciate that.
Yeah. Well, it's either that or you're working at a Turkish bathhouse. So I thought prison, you'd prefer prison.
Huh. I guess, and you could combine those to be working in a bathhouse at a Turkish prison.
Wow. I mean, hey, I didn't tell them that, there was a Turkish prison involved. I just said prison. I can change it up if you'd like. I could make this anywhere you want to go.
I saw Midnight Express, so,
Well, you know what, John? It's great to have you on here again.
Thanks, man.
We really miss chit-chatting with you in the good times here. So, but we're not dead yet, so there's plenty of times to still carry all the fun times out.
Sounds good, man.
All righty. You got anything else to add before we leave, John?
I got nothing.
Derek?
Neither do I.
Athena? Oh, she's sound asleep.
Yeah. Where's the HR cats?
The HR cats are upstairs, probably sleeping. So, alrighty. Well, if you want to find out more about us, you can find us at paddlingadventuresradio.com. We're on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. Or you can download or stream our episodes on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Podbean, iHeartRadio, Amazon Music, Player FM, and all your favorite podcast downloading sites. Or you can just go to the episode page at paddlingadventuresradio.com, and you can either stream or download all our episodes there. 505 episodes.
If you enjoy that's amazing.
Isn't it, though?
Sorry to interrupt here as you're closing, but 505, that's amazing. Congrats, guys. That's great.
Yeah, you were a big chunk of those two.
Yep, you were.
So, little congratulations your way. One third of the congratulations your way, buddy.
Yeah.
If you enjoy the podcast, please share it with friends, family, and fellow paddlers. I want to thank everybody for listening this week. I'm Sean Rowley.
And I'm Derek Specht. We'll see you next time.